Hobby Lobby, caught up in illegal antiquities trading. The U.S. Justice Department reaching a settlement forcing the private company to turn over thousands of ancient artifacts that were illegally smuggled into the U.S. from modern-day Iraq. The company's president is spearheading the construction of the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. The artifacts were believed to be heading there.
I think that the meeting between Trump and Putin will probably be Trump's best bilateral meeting in the G20. I've never in my career seen two major countries where the countries themselves are that much against each other, where the two leaders of those countries are most trying to say, we really like each other.
Washington taking aim at North Korean money laundering. A federal court granting U.S. prosecutors sweeping powers to investigate millions of dollars tied to Pyongyang that traveled through eight international banks, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan. A U.S. judge has authorized special warrants requiring the banks to accept incoming transactions but not outgoing ones for the five companies and afterwards seize what they've collected. The judge said the money was spotted because the transfer followed typical patterns of Pyongyang's money laundering based on information from sources, including two North Korean defectors.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's July 7th. Glad you're here with us at 5:10 in the morning. It's Friday. Boy, that was a fast week, wasn't it? Of course, if you had the week, part of the week off for the holiday. Looking forward to another weekend here, but we've got lots to discuss today. The jobs report's coming out a little bit later on this morning, and the Illinois has a budget later in the program. We will talk over some of the tax portion of this and go into detail about some of what you'll be paying for the new budget. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Asian shares fell today as investors fretted over the European Central Bank's plan to unwind some stimulus programs. There was also a disappointing U.S. jobs forecast. The ADP report wasn't as strong as we expected. All eyes today on the big jobs report. U.S. businesses added just 158,000 private jobs last month, according to the survey by ADP. The figure was much lower than was expected. Everybody was expecting about 185,000 in that. Investors read the meeting minutes from the European Central Bank June meeting as a sign the bank will take further steps toward exiting its stimulus program. Benchmark U.S. crude oil fell below $45 a barrel today. The dollar rose against the yen and the euro. Elsewhere on the markets in this country, Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures all sort of flat this morning. This is a holiday week still. Lots of people still on vacation. Lots of investors, too. So there's a little weakness there. Flat is what we'll call it this morning. In Europe, markets are generally lower. The FTSE, the DAX, the CAC all lower. The CAC off about 25, 26 points. The DAX off about 35 points. In Asia, again, markets are generally lower with the Nikkei off about a third. The Hang Seng off about 0.5%, off about 124 points. Gold and silver are trading lower this morning. Some stories that we're watching, again, that jobs report, 8 years after the Great Recession ended, the economy still steadily churning out jobs. The unemployment rate is at a 16-year low. But for most Americans, a key measure of economic health, which is pay growth, still lags behind pre-recession norms. That's not likely to change today when the Labor Department comes out with its jobs report for June. Economists have forecasts a solid 177,000 jobs added. The unemployment rate remained 4.3%. That's the lowest level since 2001. The job market, in other words, has still proved itself to be resilient. Pay raises, though, are another story. That's what we'll be watching today. Another puzzling one as well. Analysts expect the report to show that average hourly wages rose from 2.6% from a year earlier, according to the data provider FactSet. 7:30 Chicago time is when we'll see that out today. Some other stories. Samsung Electronics says its second quarter operating profit soared to its highest level in history. Massive data growth fueled a boom in the semiconductor sales and helped defy sluggish growth in the smartphone market. A slow recovery in there as well in that global economy. The earnings preview, the South Korean tech giant put its April to June operating profit at $12.1 billion, up from 72% from $7 billion A year earlier, sales rose about 18%. Qualcomm is seeking to block iPhone shipments to the U.S., arguing that phones infringe on six of its patents. Qualcomm plans to request the import ban today with the U.S. International Trade Commission, which has the power to block shipments of products that violate intellectual property. However, such disputes can take a long time to resolve, so iPhone sales aren't immediately at risk. Apple's iPhones are assembled in Asia before being imported for sale here in the United States. And authorities, U.S. authorities, have accused a former executive at Volkswagen's Audi luxury brand of giving orders to program diesel engines to cheat on emissions tests. The man is an Italian citizen. Giovanni Pamio is accused of being a leader in a conspiracy that was part of the embarrassing scandal that has cost VW more than $20 billion in criminal penalties so far and lawsuit settlements. He's the eighth ex-VW employee charged in the case.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, U.S. stocks suffered their biggest loss in more than 6 weeks on Thursday. The Dow Jones fell 158 points to close at 21,320. The S&P 500 lost 23 points. The NASDAQ was 61 points lower. Economists expect today's figures from the Labor Department to show a healthy rebound in job growth, despite a disappointing report from payroll processor ADP that showed the private sector added just 158,000 jobs in June. Initial jobless claims picked up last week, but still hover near 40-year lows. The parent company of QVC is taking control of the home shopping network for about $2.5 billion in stock. The two companies have been dealing with sluggish sales as Amazon dominates online shopping. And Samsung Electronics says its year-over-year operating profit soared 72% last month, thanks in large part to booming sales of memory chips required by the increasingly data-based economy. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 520. As we've been mentioning, the government jobs report is due out later today. Yesterday, it was the ADP report that found private U.S. businesses added 158,000 jobs in June. Mark Zandi is a chief economist at Moody's Analytics, predicts an increasingly tight labor market, sees wages heading up, though.
Bigger pay increases, they've been a little disappointing, but I think we're getting to that point where businesses will have no choice but to start offering bigger pay increases to workers to hold on to the workers they have and to find the workers that they will need.
Zandi says the economy generally is doing well, so we'll be watching for some sort of economic expansion pushing up as this job report comes out.
The economy is doing well today. It was doing well a year ago. It was doing well 2 years ago, and the near-term future looks okay. It looks pretty bright.
Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. Again, that report comes out at Chicago, 7:30 Chicago time today. An unruly passenger caused a Delta flight heading to Beijing to return to Seattle last night. ABC's Alex Stone has that.
On board the plane, we're told passengers jumped in to help a flight attendant who was being assaulted in the first class cabin. It happened about 45 minutes into the flight. Delta says a passenger was restrained on board. Back on the ground, that person was questioned by the FBI. One flight attendant and a passenger were injured.
ABC's Alex Stone. Also in the news this morning, a federal judge in Hawaii has ruled against a challenge to President Trump's travel ban on citizens of six Muslim-majority countries. The Hawaii Attorney General filed a motion against the ban because it excluded the entry of grandparents, aunts, uncles, visiting relatives in the U.S., ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks.
The Trump travel ban is becoming a judicial comeback kid. After being buffeted in court for months, it's on a roll, winning a partial blessing from the Supreme Court. And now a Hawaii federal trial court judge is refusing to entertain questions about how to implement the ban.
And Oaks says that one question left unanswered is the familial relationship between people.
Critics of the high court's partial approval of the Trump travel ban said the administration's implementation of the order was arbitrary, drawing a distinction between a relationship with parents and kids on the one hand versus aunts and uncles on the other. But a federal trial court judge in Hawaii has rejected a request by the ban's critics for clarification of the familial standards.
ABC's Royal Oaks, a consultant for ABC. Some other business news this morning. The maker of painkiller Opana ER is pulling the drug off the market at the request of federal regulators because of abuse. Endo International says it will voluntarily stop selling the pills approved for use in patients with severe constant pain after consulting with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Company says the extended release opioid is safe and effective for use when it is used as intended. Last month, the FDA said it had concluded the drug is too risky. The agency says it has seen significant shifts from people crushing and snorting the pill to get high, also injecting it as well. It is the first drug the FDA has sought to remove from the market due to abuse. A Fox Business anchor accused has been suspended after reportedly being accused of sexual harassment. The network says it is suspended making money anchor Chris Payne pending an investigation. It hasn't provided any details. The Los Angeles Times, citing two anonymous sources, reported that Payne had been accused of harassment by a female political analyst who appeared on that Fox Business show. In a statement, the network says it has a zero-tolerance policy for any professional misconduct. It says steps are being taken to resolve the matter in a timely fashion. President Trump's efforts to increase U.S. energy production have gotten a boost from Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. Zinke has signed an order calling for faster and more efficient oil and gas permitting to clear a backlog of federal drilling permits in the U.S. Bureau of Land and Management offices out west. Federal law requires permits to be decided upon within 30 days. Zinke says the average wait for oil and gas companies, though, has grown to about 257 days. Backlogs of oil and gas permits awaiting approval at BLM offices in Casper, Wyoming, and in Vernal, Utah, according to the AP, has topped about 500. After touring one of the few recently built coal-fired plants, power plants in the U.S., Energy Secretary Rick Perry says they're important for the country's future. Perry says a stable base load of electricity is important, and the technology provides the ability to deliver a secure, economical, and environmentally good source of energy. He says coal belongs in a diverse U.S. energy portfolio that includes renewable solar and wind power. The Longview Power 700-megawatt plant in northern West Virginia first produced electricity in 2011. It reports higher efficiency burning coal and lower emissions than other U.S. coal-fired plants. It reports carbon dioxide emissions 20% lower because it burns about 20% less gas. Microsoft is laying off thousands of employees in a shakeup aimed at selling more subscriptions to software applications that can be used on any internet-connected device. Most of the people losing their jobs work in sales and are located outside the U.S. The Redmond, Washington company confirmed that it began sending the layoff notices yesterday but declined to provide further specifics about how many jobs will be cut. Microsoft says it employs about 121,500 people worldwide. Nearly 71,000 of them work here in the U.S., with the remainder of them elsewhere.
From ABC News Tech Trends, it's the summer assignment that every kid wants to get. Washington, D.C. school principal Diana Smith knows devices and social media can wreak havoc on teens.
Really want the kids not mindlessly grabbing for the phone, but thinking about whether or not the phone is going to be their source of entertainment.
So she hatched a plan to motivate students to power down their devices.
They go without any screens, devices, for the 11 Tuesdays of the summer. If they do that, I will give them $100.
Cold hard cash out of her own pocket to each 8th and 9th grader who goes without a phone, tablet, or TV every Tuesday throughout the summer. 14-year-old student Nicholas has a plan for success.
Giving my phone to my parents and making sure that I can't get to it.
If all 160 students comply, Principal Smith could be looking at a $16,000 payout. With Tech Trends, I'm Mona Rivera.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is Friday, 5:37. Illinois government begins today with its first full budget in more than 2 years. The House voted yesterday to undo Republican Governor Rauner's vetoes of budget financed with a $5 billion tax increase, the $36 billion spending plan retroactive to July 1st, the start of the fiscal year. The veto override ends the nation's longest state budget stalemate since at least the Great Depression. Big part of this is that tax increase, an income tax increase, also retroactive to July 1st. The Illinois Policy Institute has been following this very closely. President and Chief Operating Officer Christina Rasmussen is with us this morning. Christina, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here with us. Let's talk a little bit about this. Give us a sense of where we stand now as a state in terms of not only our income tax, but taxes in general. This is a big increase, isn't it?
It is a big increase. In practical terms, what it means for pretty much every working Illinoisan is that your paycheck just got smaller. The tax increase is effective back to July 1st. It's a 32% income tax increase. So the simple math is that you will have less money for your family. The average family in Illinois is going to see $1,000 or more in income taxes on, in addition to what we're already paying in existing income taxes and property taxes and sales taxes. So it just got a lot more expensive to live and work in Illinois.
And IllinoisPolicy.org, you have a good calculator there. People can go to the website and put in their information, and it'll spit out just about how much they're going to have to pay when this all takes effect. Christina, I want to get your sense of why we had to do this. There are many people on the side of everybody that passed this that said there was no choice available. Is that the view of the Illinois Policy Institute?
Certainly that is not the case. We did not have to increase taxes like they just did. Legislators chose to increase taxes because they preferred making it more expensive for people to live and work here rather than getting down to the hard business of actually reforming the state budget. And we've seen how this works out in the past, right? We had a temporary income tax increase in 2011. They didn't reform the spending, and all that happened is it bailed out the existing spending and made the problem worse, and they were back at it, you know, pretty quickly. We polled Illinoisans. 2 out of 3 Illinoisans said, no, do not increase my taxes. You know, get back to work to reforming the state budget and how we allocate our dollars. So this did not have to happen, and it truly is unfortunate because there are a lot of people who are going to be looking at their household budgets now going, what am I supposed to cut from my household budget? You know, do I not turn on the AC? Does my kid not go to summer camp? Do I cut back on my groceries just so Springfield can continue on with business as usual?
And this isn't the only tax either. I know that you guys crossed a story earlier in the year about the general tax burden for the state of Illinois. I know here in Cook County this year alone, we've had a property tax increase. We've had the beverage tax that's gone into effect, but it's on hold now because of the court. We've now had this income tax increase. It just seems like the taxes are coming from everywhere.
You're right. And people are getting sick of it, right? When you're paying too much in taxes, you're not getting the services you want. You can get a good job elsewhere. I mean, this is why we see people fleeing to Indiana, Wisconsin, farther afield to Florida and Texas. You know, at some point people will say this just isn't worth it anymore. And that's a big problem for Illinois because we have all this debt and we need a growing tax base. But we have right now are people saying, you know what, I'm done and moving out. And this tax increase really does send the wrong signal to them. And particularly because it's not paired with reforms, right? Either on the budget side or on the economic side. And we did a really close read through of the budget. It is filled with port projects. So it's the same type of bad behavior that got us into this problem. It's not going to get us out. Moody's, the rating agency, basically said, even with this tax hike, we still might put you all at junk when it comes to credit rating because you never got at the big drivers of the problems like pensions.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that coming up, but back to this tax burden. It might sound like hyperbole we're talking about this. I know your institute is generally anti-tax, period. People who generally hate paying taxes, but independently, Wallet Hub earlier this year said that Illinois has the largest, the combined state and local tax burden is the highest of any state and the District of Columbia. So it's not just, you know, conservative anti-tax people ringing this bell, is it?
It's not. And that's what's been amazing to watch over the last couple of days. We're basically seeing this outpour of frustration from people who feel like they're helpless and that their voices are being ignored because they can feel the impact of that tax bite on their budget. Small business owners know that they're not hiring the next 2 people because they have to send more to Springfield. And so we have seen people from across the political spectrum saying, this will not stand. It cannot stand. Please stop, Springfield. And we saw just an incredible outpour of phone calls and emails and connections happening on social media. It didn't matter if you were Republican or Democrat. What mattered is that people knew that this was not the right solution.
Yeah, Wallet Hub said that the average Illinois household pays about $8,100 in state and local taxes. including sales tax, property tax, income taxes. Christina, I'm interested to see, you know, we've heard a lot the last past week of people saying there needed to be reforms in all this. You've touched on it as well. What kind of reforms are we talking about in this budget process?
We need pension reforms. We need the property tax reform. We need collective bargaining reforms. We needed Medicaid reforms. And it's just missing in action, right? They wanted to keep the same system in place, they being the politicians, because it serves them well, but it serves almost everyone else very, very poorly. And there's still going to be some upcoming decisions to be made. Mike Madigan basically said, you know, if you want schools across the state to open come September, you're going to have to bail out the Chicago pension funds for teachers and spend even more money that we don't have. So there are still some decisions to be made here, but it was just a really crystal clear, you know, business as usual, earmark porks, no reforms. And at some point, the system is, you know, going to break because it has to break because this is not sustainable, unfortunately. And, you know, they could have made the hard decisions now and put us on a better track, but instead they doubled down. And that's why you see so many people reacting, you know, very negatively to this, because they know that this isn't what we needed.
Yeah, and some circles you will hear people say, well, now that we at least have a budget and we can start paying our bills, that will help. But what is the, if you had to look beyond 6 months or a year, what's the impacts of higher taxes? I mean, we've often heard that businesses won't come here, people will flee. Are those real possibilities continuing?
They are. You're going to see a lot of people put for sale signs in their front yard. And that's tragic because we need those people here to make Illinois live up to its potential. People are reacting to this. They do respond to incentives. In terms of what next, we've actually got some indications from Democratic leadership that there might be more tax increases in the pipeline, right? Because this budget did not take care of the debt. The $15 billion in backlog of bills, you know, is still going to be a big problem. So there was talk of another income tax increase surcharge or other fees and so forth to go up to try to get at that. So it's possible that the pain isn't even over yet when it comes to tax increases.
Yeah, and one of the things that's out there floating around already is a progressive tax system, call for a progressive tax system. What would that do?
Yeah, it basically would start to treat Illinoisans differently depending on the income they make. You know, right now we have a fair flat tax, which basically says, you know, everyone's going to pay a different amount of taxes depending how much money they make, but we all pay the same proportion and rate. So there's fairness, right? And everyone's got a stake in the game. And there's going to be calls again for a progressive income tax increase, which, as we've seen in other states, gets sold as a tax hike on the rich, but very, very, very quickly reaches down into the middle and working classes because it's really, you know, again, designed to help bail out Springfield politicians who are doing business as usual. So that is very dangerous. That could be happening. Or they could just, you know, straight up try tax increases on everybody within the rubric that they currently have. So it's certainly not over. It's, you know, we may have a budget. It is not a good budget, and it's not going to solve our problems. And we're all going to pay a lot of money to this budget.
For those of us Illinoisans who are concerned about this, what can we do? It feels, you mentioned earlier, a lot of people are feeling helpless about this. We're getting ready to start another election cycle for governor. It seems we have no real impact on what our leaders are doing.
We do have an impact. I mean, you saw in the Illinois House when they went to override this, there were members who had initially voted for it the first time around when they had the outrage in their districts, the outpouring of sentiments that this is not okay. This is not what we want. This is not what we sent you to Springfield to do. You know, they flipped their vote to no. It was just a great example of how representative democracy can work for the better. And that's because people called, they emailed, they sent in messages. So, yes, this is the law of the land today. But you still have an opportunity with your legislators to reach out and let them know what you felt about this, for better or worse, right? Because they will keep that in mind the next time another income tax or other tax increase is proposed. And they need to hear from their constituents. Similarly, you know, Governor Bruce Rauner vetoed this stuff. Weigh in with him about what you feel about it. We need to connect better with our state government because they do listen and we can make a difference.
How do you think this is going to eventually impact the race for governor?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, right? So Governor Rauner said, no, this is not reform. This is not what I was signed up for. And, you know, just watching his social media on the internet, he's getting a lot of positive responses, right? It'll be interesting if the Democrats, you know, try to say, oh, I'm against it too, who are running for governor. But a lot of them have already endorsed major tax increases. So I'm not sure there's so much advantage to be gained for them. You know, this is Mike Madigan's tax increase, and Mike Madigan is the head of the Democratic Party. So that's going to be hard to shake off.
Christina, thanks for being with us this morning and for giving us the information on all of this.
Take care.
All right. Christina Rasmussen is the president and chief operating officer at the Illinois Policy Institute. You can, again, find more at illinoispolicy.org, and you can also follow them on Twitter at Illinois Policy.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:53 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Futures are flat as we head toward the opening bell later. Dow futures off 4. NASDAQ and S&P futures are generally flat this morning. Time to check commodities and agriculture. We bring in Orion Samuelson. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning, Steve. Some of the steam going out of the wheat market the past couple of days, and some of those profits were taken by the investors, and so they started selling, and that pushed the market down. July wheat yesterday was down 18¾ cents at the Chicago Board of Trade, but the Minneapolis Grain Exchange spring wheat posted the biggest decline. It was down 6.2%. That coming after the front month contract hit a four-year high earlier this month. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange until yesterday had gone higher for 8 straight sessions. Mark Gold, who is managing partner at Third Ag Marketing, said the weather up north in the plains still hot and dry, but I think we have extended it a little too far, too fast. Everybody and their mother wanted in on the market. And the other factor, Steve, is the fact that a lot of funds had sold the wheat futures in anticipation that they would move even lower. And when they turned around and started trading higher, they got caught and they had to come in and buy back their short contracts in the market. Cattle yesterday went up because of some technical buying. Cash cattle traded lightly at $117 in Kansas and $118 in Nebraska. So that's what we're looking at this final trading day of the week. And one other note, we're starting to get the estimates, or the guesstimates, if you want to call that, from some of the private trading firms on what the crop will be this year. Informa Economics raised its 2017 corn production forecast to 14,166,000,000 bushels, and it lowered its corn yield estimate to 169.7 bushels per acre. Back in June, it had estimated it at 170 bushels per acre. Soybeans, Informa, put production this year at 4,253,000,000 bushels, and that's pretty well near its mid-June forecast. It trimmed its soybean yield estimate to 47.9 bushels per acre from 48 bushels per acre, just a slight drop there. But from now on, we're going to start playing the guessing game on what we'll finally put in the bin come harvest time, Steve.
Orion, this week I saw that, this thing yesterday, Japan and the European Union sort of getting together on their own trade deal, sort of leaving the U.S. out of that. Does it concern you where we're headed in terms of international trade and things like that? Does that put a blip on the screen?
It does put a blip on the screen because trading is so important to the agricultural producers of the United States. And that was one of the things that bothered me during the campaign, was the talk of dismantling all of these trade agreements. As a matter of fact, next month they start the talks on dismantling and renegotiating NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which has been a very successful agreement for Mexico, Canada, and the United States. So, yeah, it is a bother. But on the other hand, Mr. Trump says we're going to do it country to country now, and we've already been pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement that was at the point now where the 12 or 13 countries involved could have signed it and gotten it going, and now we have pulled out of that completely. Yeah, anytime you disrupt trade or threaten to disrupt trade, it has to bother farmers and ranchers here in this country. The bright spot for ranchers, we finally have fresh beef going back into the China market. Not only going back in, but welcomed back by shoppers in Beijing supermarkets, because we had been out of that market with fresh beef since 2003 because of the mad cow disease scare. So that's one of the bright spots in trade that we currently have.
All right. Orion Samuelson, have a great weekend.
Will do. You do the same.
All right. Thanks. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook this Friday, July 7th, we'll see that big jobs report coming out 7:30 Chicago time today. The Labor Department releases the jobs report for June. Economists forecast employers added about 177,000 jobs. The pay raises are another story. Analysts are expecting the average hourly wages rose just 2.6% from a year earlier. That's still sort of sluggish growth. So we'll see how the numbers play out. The G20 Leaders Summit is continuing in Germany. We'll see a meeting by President Trump with the Russian president. Other topics up for discussion as well. The UN Security Council Committee on Counterterrorism hosts a special meeting on terrorist threats to civil aviation today. And Democratic Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney announces the Housing Our Heroes Act to help turn abandoned properties known as zombie homes into housing for homeless veterans. New report from Career Builder out today says mid-year jobs forecast finds that 60% of employers plan to hire full-time permanent workers. On top of that, 72% of human resource managers say they have to start paying a higher wage. That report from Career Builder today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, July 7th.